All right, balanced week two. We started this series last week talking about everybody's favorite thing to talk about at church, talking about money. And to kind of make it a little easier, rather than talk about money first, we talked about balanced first, talked about how to be balanced. And what we learned last week, everybody like the money poll? You see this? If you missed it last week, it's nice, isn't it? We learned last week that there are three laws to balance, okay? Three laws that we have to follow if we want to maintain balance, all right? The first law is that we have to have a reference point, all right? If I want to keep this money poll balance, I have to keep my eye on the tip. I have to keep my eye right there on the dollar sign. If I take my eye off of it, get scared, isn't it? If I take my eye off of it, it falls, all right? So you have to have a clear reference point. You also have to make, law number two, constant corrections. You can see my right hand, it's moving. Constantly making little minor adjustments to keep it balanced. And three, you have to have a clear objective. All right, my objective in this is to keep the pole from dropping. All right, that is my goal, to keep it from dropping. All right, and so what we learned last week is that the same laws apply to our finances. They apply to our balance. And balance is important because if we're out of balance financially, it's an indication that we're out of balance spiritually. All right, if you're out of balance financially, it means there's something wrong in your relationship with God. And as a church, as your pastor, my heart is that you have the best relationship with God you can have. And our money and our balance in our money is the number one indication, the number one indication of what our relationship is like with God. So last week we talked about the reference point. All right, we learned last week that just like we have to focus right here on the top, focus on the dollar sign, we learned last week that our reference point when it comes to trying to achieve balance in our finances, our reference point is the money. We have to track our money. We have to spy on our money. In other words, we have to be knowing where the money's going. All right? We have to know where the money goes. And so what I challenged you to do at the end of last week, I challenged you to develop a system to where you could spy on your money, to know where every single dollar goes. I challenge you, you know, you could do it as simple as having a notepad where you write it down. I gave you a great tool. Some of you already told me you started using it, called mint.com. It's a free website that you can put your bank accounts in and your credit cards in, and it'll track every dollar you spend. And I challenge you to do that for 1 week. And those of you in the room that are godly and awesome, you did it. Everybody else, I'll pray for you, okay? But I encourage you to do this because if you really want to get a hold of your finances, you've got to have a clear reference point. You've got to know where your money's going, all right? There's no way to make anything else, any of the constant corrections we have to make, which we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks. You can't do that unless you know where your money's going. But today, we're going to skip over constant corrections because we're going to focus on that for the next 3 weeks. And today, we're going to look at the goal, the clear objective. What is, if you want to maintain balance financially, what is our goal when it comes to money? If you had to sum it up in one sentence, if you had to say, when it comes to my finances, my goal, what I think of as success, is blank. All right? And some people from the outside would look at you, and for some of you, they would say, oh, obviously, your goal is to just make as much money as you possibly can. I tell that because you work more than you spend time with your wife and kids, and you'll miss a game, or you'll do something like that to take a phone call, or you know, some of you were like texting as you walked into church trying to close a deal. And so from the outside, people would say, all right, making money is your number one goal. And for others of you, they would say, no. Obviously, spending money is their number one goal. And that's what drives them, because they get these things, they get these little plastic cards that have my name on it, where I can take them to stores and I give them the plastic card and they give me things. And it's like I forget that someday a bill's going to come. But the beauty is I don't have to pay the whole bill. I can just keep rolling it over and rolling it over. So see, they would say your goal is to spend all you can. Others of you would say, someone would look at you and say, no, their goal must be to save all they can because they are cheap. And their house looks like a house on Hoarders and people should go over there. And let me tell you, if you're cheap, I'm sorry, no one likes you. And you're not fun to be around. And the only time your money's going to be fun is when you die. Sorry. Like, that's what you're doing. You're saving up money so that when you die, someone else can enjoy it. That's a little weird. So that shouldn't be your goal, to save it. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, I'm in church and I've been waiting on this. So obviously what you're going to tell me is that my number one priority with my money is to give money, right? That's what you're thinking. You're like, come on, preacher man, when are you going to ask me for the money? Not today. Because no, that's not the primary goal. Others of you would say, okay, I think I actually have a good one here. My goal financially is to be financially free. You know? There's a very popular radio host right now who that's what he teaches, that your goal financially should be free. No! That's not the goal, because if you're free financially, it means you still don't have a compass. There's still nothing guiding you. You're just free. You just have a bunch of money. Good for you. But we talked about last week, the more money you have, the more likely it is you are out of balance, because you've never learned discipline. You've never learned how to choose to spend this or that. So no, even freedom financially, even though there's a whole university about it, that is not your goal. It is not the main objective. Because you need a compass. You need something to guide you, that you can put up there a principle that you can say, all right, this is my guiding force with every decision I'm ever going to make. All right? And so to really understand what that is, what we're going to do is we are going to go to the Bible, and we are going to learn how God views our money. What God thinks about our stuff. What God thinks about your job. What God thinks about your skill sets that allow you to stand apart and really succeed at work. We're going to look at what God thinks about it. And as we learn what God thinks about it, it's going to then in turn shape how we should respond and what we think about it. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to the Old Testament today. For people who are at Wellspring a lot, you're like, what? I didn't know there was another half of the Bible. We are Old Testament today. First Chronicles, where we're going to be. First Chronicles 29. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. And if you don't know where 1 Chronicles is, just use the table of contents at the front. Don't be embarrassed by that. Have at it. There are some books in the Bible, I don't know where they are. I have to look too. And I'm a professional Christian, so, you know. At least you hope I am, right? All right, so as you're turning there, I'm going to kind of give you a little background. We're going to be looking at a story of a guy named King David. David was... is my son, but no, David was probably the greatest king Israel ever had. At this point in his life, David is on the other side of his life. He's older. He's kind of winding things down. His kingdom is big. They've conquered everybody they're going to conquer. Just great prosperity in the land. And so he's just kind of hanging out, trying to figure out, all right, what's next? What should we do? And one day, David is sitting in his beautiful palace, and he looks outside. And he sees this tent. And that's where God lives. Because since God called Israel out of Egypt, maybe you've seen the movie Charlton Heston, Let My People Go. You know, they come out. And when they were in the desert on their way to the promised land that God had promised for them, God said, hey, I'm going to be with you. And I want you to always know I'm with you. So he gave them very specific instructions to build a house for God. But because they traveled all the time, it was a tent. Right? It was called a tabernacle, and it was very, very specific for how they built it, and they would build it, and that's where they would go to worship God. That's where they would go to make their sacrifices. It had been the focal point of their religion since they left Egypt, okay? Well, now they're in the promised land. They're in this land. It's theirs. David has this beautiful house, and he looks outside, and he's like, dude, this ain't right. I have this gorgeous house, and God lives in a tent. I got to fix that. All right? So he goes to God and says, hey, God, here's my idea. I would like to build you a house. God says, that is a great idea, David. I would love a house, but you can't build it. David says, okay. God says, I want your son to build it. All right? It's not for you to do. You're not the guy. Solomon's going to do it. So David says, all right, that's fine. I understand that. I'm a good dad. So I'm going to prepare for my son to be able to build. So he starts making plans. He has plans built up. He starts raising money. He gives money from the government. He gives some of his own money. He gives a lot of his own money. Modern estimates say that David probably gave upwards of $14 billion to build this temple. All right, so David gives all this money, and then he says, man, this is such a good idea. I'm going to call some of the richest families together and ask them to give some money too. So he calls some of the richest families in Israel. He says, hey, this is what I'm doing. I think we should build God a house. He's still living in the tent. It's getting kind of nasty. He should have a house. He should have a temple where he can go. Don't you agree? And they're like, yes, we do. And so they give money. And don't worry, I'm not going to ask you for money today. This isn't a building campaign. All right? So he gets them there. And then what we see, the passage we're about to read, is they're actually having a party celebrating all the money they gave. Because they're that excited. They're kind of setting it aside, getting ready for what God's going to do. And as they're there, David prays a prayer that clearly articulates so well how God views our stuff and how God views our money. And it shows how David viewed it in relation to God and how he recognized who God was and who he was before God. And in case you're wondering, David's view of money is exactly the same as Jesus' view of money in the New Testament. It's exactly the same. And so, in front of all these people, David the king has all these people there, and he prays this prayer. All right, and it starts in verse 10. And in this prayer is where we're going to kind of discover our main objective when it comes to our finances. So let's dive in. Start in verse 10. It says this. It says, "Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty." In other words, God, this is all about you. It always has been about you. It always will be about you. This is all about you. He keeps going. "Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord. And this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things." Everything is yours. Everything in heaven, everything on earth is his. And right then, immediately, you and I kind of want to say, whoa, 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 what? I'm down with the mountains being God's, sure. I'm down with the ocean being God's. I'm down with the beach being God's, except for that one little part that's right there at my public access. I don't want to share that with anybody, so that's not God, that's mine. But everything else, I'm fine with that. But my stuff, my car, my house, no. Clearly you've misunderstood. That's mine. I might let you borrow it, but it's mine. That's how you and I want to see. And the beautiful thing is, here's David. Here's the king of the nation. He owns everything. He could literally go to one of those rich families and say, "You know what? I'm not going to ask you for this money anymore. I'm going to take it because I'm the king and I can do that." And they would have said, "Yeah, okay." All right? David literally did control everything. So it's easy for the really poor person to walk around saying, "Sure, this whole kingdom is God's because I don't own any of it. So what do I care? Sure, it's God." But here you have David who owns everything. It's his. And he says in front of all these people, so they all hear him, "It's not about me. It's not mine. God, everything you see here is yours. It's all yours." Do you realize David was giving away credit? David had been a mighty warrior, man. He had defeated armies. He was a hero. And he's up there saying, "Nope, not about me. God, it's all about you." And I've talked about this before, and you can't always go with it, but it's like, I mean, some people think it's cliched, but when the athlete is being interviewed after the game, and he says, "First thing I got to say, all honor and glory and power to God. It's all his." You know, I give those guys credit. Now, when a rapper is up there saying, "All glory to God," and his song's about hoes, you know, I'm like, time out. God is not in favor of hoes, so I don't think he gets the glory from the hoes. I don't. So in case you didn't know that, God is not in favor of hoes. That was free. No, but here's the king, man, in front of everybody saying, "It's not about me. And in fact, none of this is mine. None of this is mine." Let's keep going. 12. "Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything." See, this is getting personal now. He's saying wealth, the ability to make a living, it all comes from God. How does that work, you ask? Let's keep reading. "Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength." See, David is really putting forward a radical thought. And my prayer today, I've been praying for you guys all week, my prayer today is that not only will you find it a radical thought, but that you will find it a revolutionary thought. That it will transform the way you think and feel and act about money. Because what David is saying is that everything you have, your intellect, your interests, your ability to work well at your job, your ability to build houses, your ability to deliver packages, your ability to stand in front of a courtroom and argue a case, your ability to sell someone on something, your ability to come up with ideas that are then turned into ads that are put on television, every single one of those you have because the God of the universe gave them to you. They're not yours. They're his. He said, here you go. But the very nature of who you are as a person that you think you've had control over, you didn't. God gave them to you. Because his is all the power. And his is all the honor. And he gives out at his discretion. David would say, many of you guys know who Mark Zuckerberg is. You ever heard that name? Mark Zuckerberg. He's the guy that founded Facebook. A movie came out about a year ago, The Social Network, which was all about who actually founded Facebook. Did Mark Zuckerberg found Facebook? Did these two gigantic twins named the Winklevosses, did they found Facebook? You know, bunch of arguments back and forth. Do you know what David would say to Mark Zuckerberg? He would say, hey, Zuck, God founded Facebook. And many of you say, but why did he do it? And I'd say because God decided to have some fun and bug old people. And so he said, let's build Facebook. And then Satan said, let's make them poke. And he was like, all right. And then they added Farmville and Mafia, and it just went crazy. But God would say, Zuckerberg, man, I know you think you're smart. I know you think you got all that. But where did that come from? Who do you think gave you the idea? David would say, God did. Because it's his. He would say the same thing to Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, people think he is just a genius, created Apple computers, the iPad, the iPod, the iBook, the iPhone, all of it, iTunes, all out of his brain. And people say he's brilliant that he created all this. And David would say, no, Steve, God created those things because God gave you those ideas. They're his. He's allowing you to use them, but they're his ideas. God would say through David to LeBron James. Hey, Bron, you know those talents you took to South Beach? You said they were your talents? No. They're my talents. I created those talents. I gave them to you, but they're mine. You took my talents to South Beach. You didn't take. Just get that off the screen. People are going to riot. Some people don't like him very much. But here's the deal. We have to come to the point, and it's tough. I know it is, but it is truth, and it is in the Bible, and I promise you it's real. We have to come to the point where we can realize that everything we have, including what we think of as our smarts, our interests, our talents, what David is saying is they all, every single one of them, every single ounce of talent you have, was dispensed to you by God. He gave it to you. Let's keep reading. Verse 13. O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name, but who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Do you hear what he's saying there? He's saying, now, okay, if it's all yours and you gave it all to us freely, it's kind of a ridiculous concept to say we then are going to give it back to you. It's yours. We're not giving you anything. We may bring it back to you, but we're not giving anything. And you understand this concept. Anybody in the room who was parents, remember when your kids, you know, they buy you a birthday present with your money? They didn't really give you anything, you know? You gave them the money. You probably had to spend the gas to drive them to the store. But it made them feel good, didn't it? Oh, they felt so great. My son David, and I'll talk about this more next week. He started me talking about I kind of want a new television because other people have new TVs and I like televisions and I want a new television. And my birthday was at the end of December, and he had gone around the house and kind of makes me cry, and had collected all the loose change he could find. And he couldn't wait to give it to me. And he was like, hey, Daddy, here, use this to help helped buy a television. And he gave it to me, and it was so sweet. And I slapped his hand and said, "That's my money!" No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But what if I had? What if I had taken that moment to be like, "Whatever, dude, that's my money. You stole it out of the couch." But it was my money, right? He had scrounged around and found my money and returned it back to me as a gift. But that's what we do. That's what we do. We think we're being all great. Man, I am so generous to be giving God back the stuff he already gave me. He's like, "Really? Really?" Let's close this out. Everything we have, everything we have has come from you. And we give you only what you first gave us. Everything we have comes from God. And we return back to him only what he's first given us. So, let's get back to our main question. What is our objective? What is our goal financially? Well, if everything we have financially isn't ours, if it belongs to someone else, and if it's been given to us to use, but it's not ours, doesn't it seem logical? Doesn't it make the most sense that we would do everything we could with the stuff that was given to us that's not ours to please the person who gave us the stuff? Doesn't that make the most sense? So, if you're wondering, our objective when it comes to finances, our objective should be to honor God with how we use and how we manage his stuff. Make him happy. It's his. So we should make him happy with it. Now, quick side note. Some of you guys are like me and you were raised in church. And so you've heard money talked about before. And you were probably along the lines taught something called tithing. We teach tithing here. I am not saying tithing is bad. Tithing is good. I believe it's biblical. I do it. That's not the point of this. But the tithe is basically this concept that you give back to God. You bring back 10% of what he gives you. So if you get $100, all right, you bring back $10 to God. If you get $1,000, well, you give God $100. If you get $10,000, well, then you get, well, that's a lot of money, so you have to think about it a little bit, because I don't know that I can tithe on that much money. That just seems foolish, because you're just going to waste it at the church. And so I can use this money better. Not talking about giving. Not talking about giving today, but hope that made you feel bad. So anyway. Tithing is great. I tithe. You should tithe. This isn't about that. But here's the problem, okay? Growing up, or maybe you in your life, maybe it's not a tithe, but maybe you do give something when you attend here. You give regularly, okay? Here's what's happened, all right? We convince ourselves, all right, well, God wants me to tithe, so if I give my tithe, if I give that 10%, that means that the other 90% is mine, and I can do whatever I want with it. It's party time. It's my money. I have paid God off, and now I'm good. And so if God ever knocks on your door or an opportunity, and you're like, "I don't know if this is God talking to me or not," you basically look at God and say, "Dude, you got your cut already. This is mine. I already hooked you up, okay? Yes, I tithed, and it was too much, but I did. You're just going to waste it." And that's what we do. We act like we've paid God off, we've bought him off, almost like he's a mob boss. And we're like, "All right, we've given you your cut to keep us protected, but don't ask me for any more money." I see there's one problem with that. One problem. It's not biblical. At all. And nowhere in the Bible does it say, as long as you pay God off, you can do whatever you want with the rest of your money. No. He wants us to honor him with all of it. Because it's not ours. He loaned it to us. He wants us to treat it all well, do everything with it, to honor him. And you get this concept. You understand. If you were to borrow my car, all right, which, by the way, I'm just telling you, is a luxurious 2003 Nissan Maxima. All right? It's got like 95,000 miles on it. That thing is sweet. Now, If you were to ask me, hey, can I borrow your car? Since this is a hypothetical situation, sure, you can borrow my car. Don't ask me in real life. But let's say you like, you know, something's happened. I need to borrow your car. Can I borrow it for a few days? All right, I would say, sure, you can borrow my car for a few days. Now, while you have my car for a few days, what percentage of my car do you think I expect you to take care of and to honor and to treat well while you have it? Could you return the car back to me all dented in, all banged up, all filthy, and say, but I cleaned the glove box. It's beautiful. I did the 10%. Not expect you to do the whole thing. On my wedding day, when I stood before God and Ron, Ron's my father-in-law, as I stood up there and I made my vows to honor and cherish his daughter all the days of my life, do you think he was up there thinking, I wonder what percentage he's going to honor her with? I mean, if it's 10%, I hope he feeds her every day. But as long as he feeds her every day, I can't really complain because, hey, it's 10%, man. I mean, and he's, you know, he's doing it. That ought to cover it. No, he expected me to give my all to honor her every day as well as I could. All of it. It's a total, complete thing. It's not just, well, God, I'm going to honor you with this little bit, but then the rest of it's all mine. No. We are called to honor God with every dollar we have. And here's why some of you won't do it. Here's what you say. If I really try to honor God with everything, I'm afraid he's going to take something from me. And I have two things to say back to that. One, if God wanted it, he'd have it. He's God. It's a really small God if you think you can overpower him. If you think you can say, nope, you can't have this. And two, I said it last week, I'll say it again. It's a false concept because God doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your stuff. He just wants to keep your stuff from getting you. He doesn't want it because he doesn't need it because it's already his. He gave it to you. But the reason you have to surrender to him is because he knows, like we learned last week, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Your stuff, your money, is the number one thing that's going to get between your relationship with God. 100%. So he's like, hey, just, you know, be cool. Let me have it. Now hear me. This isn't a trick. This isn't a ruse. This isn't something that's trying to string you along. I want you to achieve balance financially in your life. I want you to come to the full realization that everything you have is God's. It's all his. Because when you really come to that realization and you really learn that my job isn't to manage this stuff, isn't to make more of this, my job is to honor and please God with everything he's given me, you will experience a level of freedom, a level of peace, a level of contentment that you've never imagined before. And that's what I want for you. That's what I pray for you. That's what I hope for you. And that's what we're trying to teach you here. So our objective in our finances, the objective is to honor God, to please God, to make him happy with every dime we have. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some constant corrections, some things we need to be keeping our eyes on to keep us there. But for today, I want to wrap up and I want to dare you. I want to dare you to today ask God, what would you have me do to honor you with what you've given me? And see, you don't like that. You guys, you want a list. You want a minimum. You want to say, no, Trey, just tell me what I have to do. What's the minimum? What do I have to give that's going to make God happy? And it doesn't work because God says, I don't want the minimum. I want all of it. I want every penny. I want every penny to be at my disposal because you trust me enough to know I'm going to lead you to do the right thing with it. And here's what I know about you. As you pray that prayer, some of you, yes, are going to be led to give more because you're cheap, because you're selfish, and you need to be generous. Some of you are going to be led to save more. Some of you are going to be led to quit wasting so much money. Some of you are going to think twice about some of your entertainment options that you're doing. Some of you are going to be led to downsize. Some of you are going to be led to upsize. Some of you are going to be led to lend more freely. Some of you are going to be led to get out of debt. Some of you spouses, hear me, I say this with a loving heart, some of you spouses are going to learn to stop manipulating your spouse because you're the one in the family that understands money, and so you control your spouse with money, and you kind of treat them like a child because they don't know how to manage money, and you kind of hold it over their head. And you're going to be led to stop that. You know why? Because we should never use God's gifts to belittle people. We should never use God's blessings to hold it over other people and manipulate them. Some of you are doing that. Some of you, sorry ladies, you're going to need to window shop a little less. Some of you guys are probably going to be led to hit the golf balls a little less because you're not good anyway. You're just wasting money. Some of you are going to be led to enjoy it more because you can't enjoy it. It's a gift. It's a gift given by God, and He wants us to enjoy it. I don't know what God's going to lead you to do. I really don't. But I know what He wants for you is for you to honor Him, make Him happy with every dollar you have. Now, there's a bit of a catch with that. If you really want to do that, if you really want to get serious about this, and if you really want to start honoring God with His money, what that really means is you're going to have to loosen the grip that you have right now on your money. Because right now, when it comes to God and money, this is how you hold your money to God. You kind of hide it over here in the corner. And you hold on to it tight because it gives you security. And you think, oh, it makes me feel safe to have all this money. And when it comes to God, you're like, all right, God, it's time to get your money. It's time for some money. And you have it out here, and God goes, reach for it. And you're like, no, God, I'll hand it to you. Thank you very much. All right? You stay over there. It's like a drug deal or something. You're like, all right. You put the blessing on the table. I'm going to put the money on the table, and then we'll swap, all right? Everybody be cool. But that's how we... Whoa, I don't want to drop my money. That's how we look at it. That's how we treat God. We have this closed hand, and it's all His anyway. When we realize that it's His, and when we say, God, I want to honor You with it, then what we do is we open our hand, and we say, all right, God, all right, there's everything. There it is. It's all Yours, and I love You, and I trust You, and I know You want the best for me, and You've blessed me with this, and so I want to offer it all back to You right now. I want to say, here it is. What would You have me do? How would You have me live? How would You have me spend Your money? What's going to bring You the most honor? And He's not going to say, give it all away. The Bible is so clear about that. He's not going to say that. The Bible talks about saving. The Bible talks about caring for your family. The Bible talks about enjoying the blessings God's given you. The Bible talks, there's nothing wrong with having a nice television. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. There's nothing wrong with having a nice house. None of those things are wrong. It's only wrong if those things have you. It's only wrong if you think those things make your life valuable. But if you can get this, if you can get that all that stuff and you just have an open hand and say, all right, God, it's Yours. Whatever you want to do with it, it's Yours. I give it to You. Watch out, man. Watch out. Your life will change in a way you can't imagine.